Today, we are going to take a look at another one of John's contrasts from the book of 1 John. But I want to tell you a story first. If you ever want to write a book, which I have no desire to do, but let's say you did have a desire to write a book, there's a word that is dangerous to use when you write a book. That word is the word contemporary, okay? So if you write a book, the contemporary something, and then 30 years passes, and you have a book that's called the contemporary something. Well, I hate to tell you, 1992 in my brand is still very contemporary, but it's not, right? Does everybody agree? That's not exactly. The world has changed this much, maybe, right, since 1992. So if you write a book, don't put contemporary. Just put, like, for 1992, this is what it says, okay? And then you can retitle it 2017 if you want to write a revised edition or something. All that said, I read a book back in about 1995 called The Contemporary Christian. It was still fairly contemporary then. See, that was just 3 years after that, all right? John Stott is the author of the book called Contemporary Christian. Great author, scholar, Bible commentator, a guy that I love to read his works on. And he wrote, again, this book, 1992, and he said this. And what's great about some things you write that are contemporary, they still hold true today, all right? Here's what he said. He said, there is no possibility of the church being thoroughly renewed until it is renewed in its faith and commitment to God's truth in Jesus Christ and in the full biblical testimony to him. Nor is there any chance of the church recovering its unity until it recovers its only authentic basis for unity, which is truth. Jesus prayed first for the truth of the church, and we should do the same, for God intends his church to be the pillar and the foundation for the truth. And John is going to hit us head on today with this idea of what is truth and how can we discern it. We're in a series called Light and Darkness. We've been contrasting things throughout the book of 1 John. We've spoken about the children of God and the children of the devil. We've talked about last week the differences between love and hate. And today we're going to talk about the difference between truth and falsehood or lies. From an early age, we are told that, hey, always do what? Tell the truth, right? You tell your kids that, hey, just tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. And we have this standard, which has been set, and I would argue, set by God, that we are called to be people of truth. We are called to be people that stand on the truth. John speaks to a group of people today and speaks to us as the church about what it means to stand for truth. And why is it important for us to stand for truth? If there was no falsehood and if there was no lies, this would be easy, right? But the problem is we are surrounded. We are inundated with ideas, false ideas and false truths. So if you are covered up with ideas that are false and ideas that are lie, you must be able to discern what is truth. And John helps us with that today as we look in his word. If you have your Bible, 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, we will just read the first six verses. Today we're going to talk about how to have power and wisdom when discerning the truth. How to have power and wisdom when discerning the truth. And so John speaks to this, 1 John chapter 4. Let's begin in verse 1. It'll be on the screen if you don't have your Bible with you. Here's what it says. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We ended chapter 3 last week of 1 John with a reminder which carries over to today, that how can we love, how can we balance love and discernment in our everyday walk, in our everyday life? And we're reminded at the end of chapter 3, and we have to set the stage with this, is we can do this because of the Spirit of God that lives within us. We can love those who are unlovable. We can discern what is truth today because of the Spirit of God that lives within us. So we set the stage with that. John says, now that you know that the Spirit of God dwells within you, how do you balance this out? And he says to them simply in verse 1, you got to test the spirits. Now, what does that look like? Now, I don't know about you guys. I'm kind of ashamed to admit this because I feel like I'm still a fairly young guy. But I like Antiques Roadshow, okay? I'm there, I've said it. I put it out there for you. I am thinking that one day I'm going to stumble across this rare treasure box of something in my home that I can take on the Antiques Roadshow and buy an island with or something, you know, because it's going to be worth so much money. I have searched my house high and low and still not have found it, but I believe it might be there somewhere, okay? So you watch the Antiques Roadshow, right? And these people come up and they show it to the expert. And he's like, yeah, this is worth $4. That's what he would say to me. This, you bought this at a garage sale. You should take it back there. All right, but some people come and they're like, I bought this for $4. It's worth $40 million or something. Not that much maybe, but a lot of money. And how do you know that? Well, we test, you know, they look at it and they get all this. Well, they have cool magnifying glasses, right? They're like, oh, yeah, I'm looking at this. So to test something means to prove it, to really examine it. In other words, not just kind of go, eh, that looks pretty real. No, you're going to have some marks of realness. You're looking for something that's real. Another way to think about it is if you get a coin, if you ever seen a coin guy, they'll bite it, which I feel like is odd. But anyway, you know, you bite it and see if it's real. That's kind of the analogy. Is this real? Can I prove it? And so John says to the church, and he says to us, he said, I want you to test the spirits. I want you to see what is real by simply examining something for genuineness and realness. And why is this important? Because in John's day, less than 100 years after Jesus, there were already people coming up with crazy ideas and crazy cults, if you will, and crazy things that they wanted you to follow after. Now take that from that time till now. Put your history mind on for a minute. How many false prophets, how many cults, how many things have come about? You probably can't. You couldn't number them. You couldn't even, right? And so John says to us, you must know that there are going to be false teachers. And behind every false teacher and behind every false statement is a spirit. Little s spirit, okay? Is a spirit. In other words, these things are things that desire to take you away from God. A spirit is something that can take your attention and your focus away from God. So here's our challenge. Sometimes these come from within the church. People stand up and say, hey, I have a word from the Lord for you. Oh, that sounds official, doesn't it? Right? Stand up. I was told in a special revelation to tell you, blah. This. So how can we know, just because someone says that something comes from God or comes from the Lord, that is it indeed a word from him? Well, listen, here's our challenge today. Any Christian must be a thinking Christian. If we're to be biblical and assess whether something is genuine or true, we must be people who use our minds. And we are not naive and gullible to every shifting wind or every shifting teaching that comes our way. Parents, grandparents, this is important. for you and for your children and for the next generation, because ideas are just raining down upon us, aren't they? So what is truth? Well, today we're going to look at two things. We're going to look at two ways that we can have wisdom and discernment. How can we, church, have wisdom and discernment against all of these false teachings that have come our way and that, listen, will continue to come our way? John gives us two simple things, two words that I want you to remember. The first one is, I want you to examine what is said. Examine what is said. The imperative emphasis in verse 1 is clear and strong. You must test the Spirit. We spoke to that already. But the problem is, we are easily impressed by the novel and the unusual. Why do you think the bearded lady is so popular, right? Or whatever weird stuff they have in those tents at the fair. I went to the state fair in Louisiana. They had a lot of weird stuff there when I was a kid. And you had to pay your money and go in there and be like, that's weird. We're impressed by that, right? We kind of walk in and we go, I've never seen that before. I don't know what that means. And so when we hear something new or when we hear something novel, we're easily impressed. Come on, admit it. You're kind of like, oh, that's odd. Yeah. We flip the channel. We're like, boy, that's weird. Never seen that before. And so we're sucked into it. And so John speaks to the church, speaks to us about being careful just because something is weird or novel, or secondly, because maybe people are excited about it, doesn't mean it's real. It's like an infomercial. I know that you can clean my floor with that awesome twist mop thing. I'm glad that you're excited about it, but that doesn't mean it actually works. Trust me, it doesn't. I bought it. It's one of those things that I don't care how excited you are about something. That also doesn't mean it's true. And then there are flat-out people who come out and share falsehood simply for the fact that they want to deceive people also. I could wear a stethoscope up here and tell you guys I was a doctor, but you'd quickly find out that was not true. The appearance, the excitement, the novelty of something does not make it true. Do you understand that? Church, we are sucked into stuff, though, quickly because people are simply excited about it or just lying to us, and we just believe everything. So John said, you, church, today need to be discerning in what is said. In the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 7, you may remember the plagues of Israel. And God brought 10 plagues, and some of the plagues, the magicians of Egypt were able to do what? The same thing. And so the people are like, wow, that's... And the magician, oh, we did that too. Simon the sorcerer in the book of Acts was a magician, and everybody followed after him because he had a lot of cool stuff. And Paul said, nope. Just because something is new and novel doesn't mean that it's truth. And so John says, what do we have to do? We have to examine what is said. Let me give you some criteria here from the word. Beyond signs and wonders, we need to get the heart of what someone is saying. And it is a question of context. Is what is being said drawing me away from God or drawing me to worship Him more? Just because something feels right or sounds good doesn't mean it's true. Spiritual activity is not necessarily godly activity. So what do we measure against? You hold it in your hand. We measure truth against God's word. I read this quote. I thought it was good. Simply stated, God, who is eternal truth, is not going to contradict what He has already said. So John in verse 2 says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is from God. In other words, let's start at the very beginning. What does this truth say about Jesus? There's a great story in Acts, and I think I've got the scripture up here, Acts chapter 17. There was a group of people Paul was speaking to called the Bereans, and it says these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with eagerness, but look what they did. They examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. And so the challenge to you and the challenge to me is not just because some preacher or some teacher stands up and says it. Look, you need to check behind me. Do you understand? Just because someone says it doesn't mean it's true. Is it in the Scripture? That's the standard. That's what they call the plumb line if you're a builder. You know what I'm talking about. By which we measure truth. So if something is said, we are to test it like the Bereans against the Scripture. Now, John was speaking to a specific situation. There was a group of people in the first century, and they were called Gnostics with a G. It's a weird spelling. Gnostics, okay? These Gnostics' problem was that they denied that Jesus was fully God. That they said sometime before or during his baptism, the Spirit of God came upon him and made him God, and then sometime before Calvary, the Spirit of God left him. That's called heresy, okay? It's not true. But they were preaching this message to the church back in John's day, and he says clearly in verse 2, if they don't confess that Jesus has come in the flesh from God, then don't listen to them. Now, I'm going to challenge you, church, and I'm not trying to step on toes, but I will a little bit. Do you know what religions in the world believe about Jesus? If you don't, then pay attention, because listen, Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, okay? I can name 10 others. Don't believe that Jesus came in the flesh as the Son of God. They all believe differently around that. But you cannot be ignorant to the fact that they deny Christ in his full humanity and his full deity. So John says, don't listen to that. Don't. You start right there. Just because somebody says the name of God or Jesus does not mean that's a sermon that you need to stop and listen to. You need to know what they believe and know what we believe. Actually, know what the Bible says. Discern for yourself, John says. Listen to what is said and then test it against the Scripture. Because anything, in verse 3, that does not confess Jesus is from God is the spirit of Antichrist. We mentioned that weeks ago. The spirit of Antichrist is anything against Jesus in his fullness. And there's a lot of spirits of Antichrist. Not this isn't big A Antichrist like the guy you're all scared of. This is little A Antichrist. The spirit of falsehood, the spirit of lies. So let's begin examining what is said. If they can't say that Jesus Christ, born of the flesh, born of a virgin, Son of God, fully man, then stop listening. Stop. Stand on the truth of God's word. Acts chapter 20, I read to you before we read Ephesians couple weeks ago. Paul said, be on your guard against the wolves. They're going to come teaching this stuff. Be on your guard against them. Church, that message has not changed today. Examine what is said. Number two, examine what is lived. Examine what is lived. I've given you two words over and over in 1 John, belief and behavior. Belief, behavior. If belief shapes behavior, then we're going to see something in the life of these false prophets. We're going to examine their lives. We're going to examine how they're lived. And we're going to see that beyond the content of their words, these false teachers will produce some effects, some things that are visual for us. You're going to notice three pronouns, verses 4, 5, and 6. The pronoun in verse 4 is you. John says, little children, you. He's speaking to Christians, you. Verse 5, he says, they. He's talking about the false prophets, they. In verse 6, he talks about we, and he's referring to himself, John and the other apostles, the teachers of the gospel. So in verse 4, we look at the word you, and he says, false teachers have not won you over, true believers. Back in chapter 2, he said, some people have gone away. Some people have ran away from the truth, but not you who are true believers. How? One of the great verses in Scripture, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So you can stand up and say, I will not be swayed by falsehood. As a true follower of Christ, I have the power of the Spirit of God dwelling in me. I will be able to discern and have wisdom. because I will not be easily swayed. But these people, these false teachers, have different desires. You ever notice that when someone creates their own religion, they usually have a couple of common goals in mind? Maybe a new world order, a new government, or a new power, you know, structure. And who is always at the head? It's funny how this works, right? Who's always at the head of this new world order? Whoever started the cult, right? It's a great deal, right? If I can get you guys to follow me, I feel like I can be the ruler. It's a good deal, right? Works out well for some, not so well for others, okay? So they have this common goal of, I'm going to set up this authority, and by the way, I'm going to be the head of it, and everything's going to kind of fall under that and fall under me. And why do people like this so much? Why do people enjoy why does this appeal to so many people? Because the world is in rebellion against God and is attracted to these folks because they have fundamentally the same selfish desires in their heart. Listen, in our own, we want to be the kingdom of one and the kingdom of me, don't we? We know in our selfish sin nature that our desire is for us to be at the center of everything. I don't think I'm the only person that can admit that sometime, right? And so why does it appeal to people so much? Is because it's what our sinful heart actually desires. If left on our own, as human beings, we want to be assured that we're okay, that we're all right. And any idea about sin or judgment or Creator God gets shuffled away as outdated and unnecessary because it detracts from the kingdom of me. We live in a world that likes friendly Jesus. And we like the Jesus who buffs the dents out of us a little bit when we need a little trip to the body shop. But we struggle with the Jesus that flips our world upside down and changes us and makes us into something new, because it's difficult for us to think that we're not okay. True apostles, true followers, know what they teach, know what they live. John says, we, in verse 6, we're from God, we teach the truth. John's concern, church, is not with us being the Holy Spirit that we can see directly into people's hearts, because we can't. He's calling us to listen to what people say, to listen to what they confess about Jesus Christ, observe how they live, look at who their followers are, what are their goals, what are they trying to accomplish. And in this, we find this great conflict between truth and error. And in our relativistic age that we live in, 2017, we need to be reminded that some things are always true and some things are always false. Truth is not just the present consensus of opinion. Hear me on this. Truth is not just the present consensus of opinion, because that always changes. Truth is the very character and nature of God, found and revealed in what? The Scripture. Now, church, that's something to stand on. Everything else you stand on is a moving, shifting sand. And many a cult leader and many a fanatic have been toppled when it's found out that they don't stand on anything that is firm and anything that is true. Now, why is this important to us today? Why would I share this with you today? Because listen, if John dealt with false teachers and it took 6 days to get a letter 5 miles down the road and get information out, how much faster can information disseminate today? Anything I want to say to the whole world, I could have out to the world by the time we were done in here, couldn't I? Anything that any false teacher wanted to say, they could have in front of an audience in a matter of minutes. Your kids, your grandkids, even us, you know, easily swayed, can just simply turn on the internet, turn on the TV. Not that you turn on the internet. That sounded dumb. Sorry. You can get on the internet. I don't know if I can turn it off or turn it on. Anyway, get on the internet, turn on the TV, and hear anything. And you might hear the name of Jesus, and you might hear the name of God, and you might even hear things from Scripture. But is it truth? Listen, if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, if you don't have a spirit of testing, if you don't have the discernment and the wisdom to listen with a critical ear, then you too and my kids and your kids can be swayed. And so we as a church at Grace stand on truth. We stand on the Word. We stand on discernment, and we pray together, as Stott said in the quote, the unity of the church will be restored when we restore truth. Don't buy into the spirit of falsehood. Don't buy into the spirit of lies. Discern for yourself what it is that you hear, what it is that is put in front of you. Don't be ignorant. Don't be naive. Don't be gullible. Open God's Word and test it. Listen, I'll tell you this. Anything I say, open up your Bible and test it. I pray that you would. And if I'm wrong, I will receive it, because I do not want to be guilty of standing up and speaking something that is not true. I'll answer for that, right? But you as a church, you as my brothers and sisters, test the spirits, right? Test the spirits. See if it comes from God. Guess what? He'll honor that. He'll grow the family of God. He'll grow the kingdom of God, because we stand on truth. Let me ask you to bow your head for just a moment. Before we pray, I want to do something real quick. I want to invite you to something. Our prayer partners, I'd like them to go ahead and move into place if they would, if they're in here. So get our prayer partners up here. I want to encourage you. Today we spoke about something that I agree is a big picture kind of thing. It's kind of a big picture story. Maybe not as personal as some of the messages that we preach, and that's okay. But the Spirit of God can speak to each person individually. And so our prayer partners are not here just for show. I pray. You can line up behind them if you need to and wait for prayer. Don't leave here today if you have a prayer need without going to one of our prayer partners or coming to me. They'll be here both during my prayer and after the service. I pray that you really would use them. And we're going to push that in the days and the weeks ahead. I want you to know that there are people here who love you, who want to pray over you. Even if it has nothing to do with what we spoke about today, because I'm not naive enough to believe that you don't walk in here sometimes with a burden or a hurt or something that you need somebody to pray over you about. That's my desire. You go to those folks. But maybe today you've been convicted about something you've been watching or reading or hearing, and you're like, man, I don't think that's true. I need to evaluate that against God's Word. Maybe you need to come and pray and confess that. That's great. What we're going to do is I'm going to pray, and then we're just going to stand up and we're going to sing that first song that we sung again. There's not really going to be a time of invitation, but just because the song is over does not mean that the service has to be over. You come and find somebody to pray with you. They'll hang around. I just want you to know that whatever God is dealing with in your life, there are opportunities here for you to get prayed over, to have confession. Don't leave this place without doing that. Find me after the service. I'll be glad to speak with you more. This time, though, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. Lord, I pray that everything spoken today would be an honor to you, would be glorifying to you, because it came straight from your Word. Lord, would I get in the way? Lord, I pray that the Spirit would just filter that out, and that the Word of God would shine through boldly into what is spoken here. Lord, I don't know what is going on in the hearts of people in this room, but I know that it probably is a a huge wide range of emotion. Maybe over something that has nothing to do with what was spoken here today. I pray people would have boldness to go and ask for prayer. Don't leave this place just wondering if somebody cares or if somebody wants to pray over them. I pray they'd have boldness to do that. Lord, I pray as a church, we would leave here committed to stand on the truth of the Word of God and emboldened to go out and speak that to a world which so desperately needs to hear it. Lord, may you work in the hearts and the minds of your people, of your children, this week to stir them to do just that. God, here's the ultimate truth. You get the glory. You get the honor. You get the praise. Work through us as you see fit so that we can give you that. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.